Hi. We got two shows coming up. We want you to be there. Hack City Comedy, January 15th, 8 o'clock at Canal Street Market. Asian Not Asian Live podcast recording, January 25th, 9:30 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater. For more information, check out AsianNotAsianPod.com and get your tickets. For this episode, we partnered up with East Meet East, the number one Asian dating app and live streaming community. They came up with a brand new way to meet your soulmate by bringing the live element into dating.
Basically, they have a live show called Asian Bachelor or Asian Bachelorette. Basically, it's an online version of the TV reality show, and everyone can tune in to win a date with the contestant. So check it out by downloading the app with the link in the description box of this very episode.
Yay!
The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together. Wow. Together.
Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Asian Not Asian Podcast, a podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I am your host, Fumi Abe, and today Mike Nguyen is gone. He's on vacation, so I've replaced him with a better, funnier comedian. It's Julia Shiplett.
Hi. Yay.
Thanks for coming on the show and saving the podcast, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we had a strict audition process. We're like, who do we...
Was that the first person you asked?
100%.
Oh, yeah. Thank God.
Well, we had two other people like in the queue.
Who?
I can't tell you. shout out to our network, Listening Party and Canal Street Radio. Check out those guys on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Radio or Canal Street Market. And if you're listening to this on Spotify or SoundCloud, whatever, Apple Podcasts, on your phones, take a screenshot, put it on Instagram, tag us at Asian Not Asian Pod. Please, it really helps when you retweet it or regram it or whatever it's called. And then if you're an iTunes listener, please leave a review. Today's a sex episode we did with Millie Tamarez. She's a friend of ours, a comedian. But Julia and I wanted to do like a little, I don't even know what this is called, a little side hustle here. Is that what it's called? A side hustle? What is it called when you, a sidebar.
A segment, little side piece.
Little side piece.
I don't know if I should say that.
Yeah, oh.
JK.
Well, okay, so something significant happened in my life, and we just want to talk about it intimately without the guest before we got into it. So, big news, Anals. You know, my girlfriend and I, we've been dating for about 6 years. Things are great. We've had some bumps, but we've figured it out. We're very strong. She's my partner, my patna.
Cute.
And then we have been talking about this for a while, but I had suggested, and we both agreed, that we might try being in a open relationship for a little bit. And the way this came about is I think that, I guess, I don't know, it's hard to talk about this without sounding like, as a guy, without sounding like a shitbag, because, you know, it's not as simple as like, well, I'm just like horny all the time, you know? It's not really about that. I think for me, you know, she's my first girlfriend that I've ever had, and there will always be a part of me that is going to wonder what it might be like to just be intimate with another woman. Just from a physical point of view, I think what her and I have built together is amazing. It's solid. I can't really imagine having what I have with her with anybody else. And I think that serves as a source of confidence. And I think, you know, it's the reason why, like, I don't know, if we're at a party or something, or if we're at a bar and I see like some guy hitting on my girlfriend, like, it does not threaten me in the least, you know? And not because I don't think she's sexually attracted to that person. It's just like, there's just no way that he's gonna bring anything to her life in the span of the next 2 hours that's going to rid of what we have built together. You know, we get weird together, right? You were in a relationship for a long time. You know how it is.
I do, and I am kind of jealous that you guys like, you found someone who was like, yeah, I'll at least give this a shot.
So it's less important. It's like, we don't know if it's you know, it's, I hopefully it's a temporary thing, and we don't know if it's gonna work, but at least she's down to try it with me.
Yeah,
let me explore this side. So,
and let her explore too.
Absolutely. And I'm okay with that. And I think the most important thing about an open relationship is, you know, it's, a lot of people do it when there's not a foundation. And it's just my experience. Maybe it works in other ways too. Yeah. But like, if you don't have that solid foundation, I think it's hard to like trust that person. And I think a lot of times what ends up happening is like, oh, well, I thought you said I could hook up with this girl. And like, no, she's my coworker, you fucking idiot, or whatever, you know?
Right.
It's like the lack of communication.
It's not like you can fuck anyone
anytime. No, we have rules like it's nobody in, like, nobody in both of our lives, you know? Like,
right.
Obviously, not somebody that we would see often together. And there's also rules about, like, how many times can I see this person?
Oh,
like,
really?
And like, how many do I need to tell you if something might happen? Like, how often do you want to communicate that? And I think the cool thing is that I don't know about it until I started looking into it, is that you can, like, kind of set your own rules. What works for you and your partner may not work for you and your, like, you know, somebody else's partner.
Yeah.
Right? So for us, it's just, like, baby steps. So, like, every time I take a baby step, I check in, you know? And it's like, I think that's cool. Yeah.
I think that's evolved.
The transparency has been cool. It's just nice to be honest, I think just having this conversation has elevated our relationship, because it's just like, hey, can I be like straight up with you for a second? It's like, sometimes there's a girl after a show and we're vibing and like, I feel like I want to hook up with her sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't do it.
And that doesn't take away my love for you.
Exactly. But it's like, I just want to let you know that thought exists.
Yeah.
And that's just who I am.
Yeah.
And it's not like I feel this way all the time, but like sometimes I do believe in like connections between two people that can kind of happen, you know, spontaneously and also just go away too. So I don't know. I think just like we had this conversation and nothing really happened. And it's not like I was out there trying to hook up with girls, but...
Was she upset when you brought this up? Can I ask?
We talked about it like a long time ago, back in like April or something. And she was like, I don't think that's what I want to do right now.
Uh-huh.
But then, you know, from then, I started going to therapy in April. And we've been talking more. We've been communicating more frequently and being more honest with each other. And I think now we're at a point, like trust-wise, where... I think she might have brought it up. She was like, hey, if you still want to do that, I'm open to trying it. She brought this up like over the summer. And at that time I was like, nah, I don't want to do that.
I feel like your relationship is like what could have happened with my relationship if it hadn't fallen the fuck apart.
Was it more just like for him, was it like a alpha male thing where it's like, I don't want to see my girl with another man.
It might have been part of that as a woman bringing up the idea to a man, because I do think men can be more territorial with that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But also I think honestly, like, I'm not saying I don't think if you don't fuck with this kind of stuff, I don't blame you. I get it. It's like you have to be on the same page as the other person.
Yeah,
so this is not a right or wrong thing. Honestly, it sounds just more like you guys have a level of trust, mutual trust and respect in each other that maybe he never felt like I had. And I can't like discredit those feelings, but I think that's like, that was a very uncomfortable, unhappy conversation.
Yeah.
That I kind of was like, okay, this is a really touchy thing that I can't bring up. But I just think it's cool that you at least, whatever, maybe you guys like, maybe you guys both hook up with like one person each, like, and then you're like, nah, I'm done.
Exactly.
And you get it out. But the fact that you guys were willing to just talk about it, at least entertain the idea, explore scenarios, talk about rules, talk about boundaries. I think that's like cool.
Cool. That was the coolest part to me, is the talking. It's not the idea of like, oh, like I can just hook up with anybody now. Because at the end of the day, answer is no, I still look like this. It's not like, you know what I mean? I'm not a celebrity. Like if I want to do that, I have to put in work. Like I was talking about how like with my girlfriend about like, well, if you want to hook up with other girls, like you have to meet them. So like, you have to like get back on the apps again or something. And I was like, oh, like that sounds terrible. Yeah. It's funny. I was like staring at my own dating profile. I like made one when I was on the road. And she knows about this too, but I was staring at my own profile and it was just so funny because, you know, when you're in a relationship, you never think about who you are objectively, you know, in a while, because you don't have to, right?
Yeah.
I think when you're single, you're always thinking about like, what do other people think about me? But looking at the dating profile just confirmed that I'm so unattractive, because it was just like, it was on Facebook too. It was like one of those Facebook dating apps, and it just said Fumi 30 works at stand-up comedy. I was like, ew.
Yeah, these are all,
ew, this guy sucks.
Yeah, but also you're doing it on Facebook, which I think is the lamest part of all of that. using the Facebook built-in dating app.
Well, you know, they had it on there, so I thought I'd try, you know.
No, but I think to your point, I think that making where... I think a lot of times, I'm no expert, my relationship fell apart. I'm a mess. I don't know how to date anyone right now. But I feel like sometimes when you are in a relationship, you feel like I can't... You kind of are trapped in a way. If you were in a monogamous, committed relationship, you're like... Even if I don't want to, the fact that I know I can't do something, like you are kind of stuck. But the fact that you both have the choice, it's like you also are then choosing to be together. I just feel like it almost makes you...
Oh, shit!
Like, it That's makes nice. The choice to be together in some ways even stronger.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I
That's a great pitch. That's a great pitch. Did you say that? You should have said that.
Open relationship. Yeah. The choice to be together. Yeah. I mean, honestly, no, I'm kidding about it. But I think that's cool. I wish you both well.
Thank you. Yeah,
and I hope makes you stronger in the end together.
I hope so, too. And I can't, you know, if we ever have kids together or something, this is not something I want to entertain, or at least not now or today.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's just kind of just trying it. Like, you know, who said that a monogamous relationship has to look like this all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think you can take different shapes and forms. So that's been good. And I appreciate you listening to me because I don't know if I could have told Mike this to his face.
How would Mike respond, Mike, as a married...
You know, I talked to him about it once, just about it in general, not me trying.
Yeah.
But I remember he was just like, you know, I'll let him defend himself next week when he's back in the pod. So Mike, if you're listening, I'm not shitting on you, but I remember one time he said to me, he's like, show me a successful open relationship. Like, show me what that looks like. And I was like, you know what? People aren't openly talking about it.
That's
because it's not accepted. And also, to be honest with you, I bet there are more successful people in open relationships than there are more successful Asian comedians, okay? I bet there are way more. So, I don't know. I think what him and I are trying to do with our careers is way more risky than what I'm doing with my girlfriend, you know?
I could see Mike being like, this is some white nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, I think he told me that if he had presented this idea to his wife would just be like, oh, you're like too involved in comedy. You have to quit now. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, there's something wrong with... Like, you've been exposed to, like, these heathens kind of thing, you know?
I see.
But that's the branding that it has when you say open relationship.
It is.
I reject that brand. I don't think it has to look like that. Again, it's like, open relationship could honestly just be like, hey, can I just, like, flirt with people at the bar? That could be
That's the thing. It's not like, I think there's a difference between being in an open relationship, and open relationships can look like a lot of things, and being like poly, where it's like, you have a bunch of partners, these are people who are consistently in your life. You have to keep, you know, maintain those relationships. You're not trying to maintain, juggle a bunch of relationships women.
Right. Yeah, I mean, even now, if I'm like flirting with somebody at a show or something like that, my conscience is so clear. You know, it's like I don't feel guilty in the slightest because it's like, oh, now I'm like, so she knows that I'm doing this. And
are you talking about this on stage yet?
A little bit.
Okay.
But I don't know what's funny about it other than like the Facebook thing. I need to you know what it is? It's so funny because like I'm in an open relationship, but I haven't really done that much. So I got to go do stuff and then figure out what's funny about it.
That's true. You just set up the rules. You're like,
yeah.
Open, baby.
Open, baby.
But nothing has happened.
Open for business.
No one has walked through the gates. No one has walked through.
Yeah, I'm gonna go out of business soon, dude. anyways.
That's cool. And I think the thing is, it's like, if it starts not working, then you stop.
Then we stop.
And you just talk about it. Yep. And it's like, it's such a scary thing, I think, for men especially. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I kind of feel like I think it's also like a really straight thing. Not saying you specifically, but I feel like heteronormative relationships and like monogamous heteronormative relationships too, it's like, men are so territorial of women as property in a way.
Oh, I see.
I feel like some guys would be like, well, you know, I guess if you're gonna hook up with like anyone, it could be a girl because like I think that's hot. But like if you bring I think a lot of guys would be okay with a woman, their girlfriend, hooking up with another woman.
Yeah.
But not another guy, because is scary to the male ego, which is like, babe, those girls, who's going to steal your girl. Like, I'm serious. It's like, I don't know. I feel, I think you guys are handling it well, though.
I don't
as
know,
long
well,
as you're
I'll
open.
I'll keep you posted, man. I mean, it's very possible that I'll be single in 5 months as well.
No, you're doing
but,
great.
But yeah, I mean, I think it just like forces you to talk to each other a lot. So it's been good. But yeah, the sex episode is coming up. We're super excited. It's very funny. So we hope you guys enjoy the episode. And we'll see you on the other side.
Bye.
I'm excited to talk about this with our guest today, and you know, she is. I gave her a new title. Her title is Junior Horny Correspondent. Is what we're going with today.
Why junior?
Well, you know, Brian is senior, but he might get fired. So you know,
Brian gotta go.
There could be more than one senior.
There could be more than one. I wanted to give you a different title, but I didn't know horny. Yeah. I didn't want to call you like. Dick,
yeah, no, it's okay. I'm
you know?
Yeah, dick. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
horny.
Yeah,
okay,
horny great. Is like.
Are those just the credits you're gonna read for me, or? Because I've done other things.
Yeah, she's
besides
other than being horny. She is. She's written for The Onion, Reductress, and has worked on a collaboration with HBO and
well,
The Root.
That didn't air, so.
What?
That got cut.
Still so that got cut. It we still don't, people don't know, but your biggest credit and the one I'm most interested in exploring today is you've been banging Asian dudes since 2008. So let's give it up for Millie Tamarez. Wow.
Damn.
What's good? Thanks for coming.
What's good? Thanks for having me. I like have a longtime listener. And you know, I was like, I don't know if they'll have me on the pod. I'm not Asian, but there's the not Asian in the title.
Yeah, dude.
And
we have non-Asian.
And you
show.
Know, I just want to say I've been practicing my Japanese. So kore kara nihongo dake.
Oh my god, do you want to start there?
Yeah,
do you want to like, start there?
You need to translate.
This is all in
me.
Japanese,
okay,
right?
Okay.
This is entire no. interview is in Japanese.
No.
Please no. For me.
Okay, wait.
No, I'm kidding.
Do you speak Japanese?
According to Fumi, not
okay,
well.
Okay, wait. This is let's start here. Before we get into the sex stuff, we gotta take care of some logistics.
Yeah,
I gotta publicly apologize to Millie.
Thank you.
Because I did something that I think for a lot of kids, children of immigrants, this is like a very sensitive thing. But you know, you're not Japanese, but you speak a little bit. You know, you worked for a Japanese company. You're interested in the culture.
I did study for
right?
3 years. Yeah, I studied abroad.
So you speak a decent amount. And when we first started hanging out, we were hanging out at this like New Year's party.
Lunar New Year.
Right, we were hanging out and
Pan-Asian inclusive.
We were drinking, and then you had said some Japanese shit to me, and I made fun of you.
He roasted my
I
Japanese.
I roasted you.
And I was like, let me tell you something real quick, okay? First of all, bitch. All right, I speak English and Spanish. That's what I speak at home with my parents. You should be lucky I know how to say konnichiwa, which is hello. Thank you.
And
also too, it caught me off guard because Japanese people, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I feel like Japanese racism is very different in that they have such low expectations for non-Japanese people. Everyone who's not Japanese is a fucking idiot.
Ooh.
So if they see you holding chopsticks properly or saying hello properly, they're like, oh my god, wow, oh my god, like, so that's like what I was used to.
Mm-hmm.
And to have Fumi completely roast my Japanese was such an ego boost.
So you're saying my racism is at the right level?
It's the American
very
kind.
High expectations,
it's the American
I guess.
Kind, and I was just not used to it.
So legit, I do want to apologize. You know, I mean, I was just busting your balls.
I wasn't
I didn't like sit you down. I'm like, I think you're Japanese.
No,
awful.
No. It wasn't like that. He was like, your Japanese sucks, dude. He literally said that.
But I was like,
this is my number one friend instead of best friend. That's what I said. I said, this girl's my number one friend.
But that's cute. In English, that's cute to call someone.
Yeah, but
you were
like,
this is
actually.
This
he
is
said,
incorrect.
Well, actually, the saying is, I forgot it.
No, you're like, you said like.
Ichiban tomodachi.
Yeah.
That's my number one friend.
I mean, it's not grammatically correct.
It's not correct.
Listen,
it's not correct.
My point is,
he's not wrong, but he ain't right.
My point is, I'm sorry, and I shouldn't have done that to you. And there's a whole history to that because my family does that to me.
Yes.
And in other you know, it doesn't matter if you're Asian or not. If you speak a different language, but if it's your second language or if it's not your mother tongue,
I know.
You know, maybe for you with Spanish, I don't know how good Spanish.
I speak three languages,
right? But like your parents might be like, "Oh, your Spanish is whack."
You know,
a lot of kids deal with that in America, and then I took it out weirdly on you at a party. I don't know why I did
Question
that.
Question for you, Fumi.
Yes.
How old were you when you realized you were your parents?
So that
Welcome to the Militarist takeover of Asian Asian
infiltration happening.
I love this. The energy is different already. You know, it's but let's start here.
Thank you. You know what? I appreciate your apology.
Yeah,
I'm truly sorry to apologize.
I kept thinking about it that night when I went home.
Yeah, I know you think about me when you go home every night, but honey.
You know, one of your biggest credits is that you've been banging Asian guys for a long time.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah, I kind of like have weaned myself off.
Oh shit.
Like for heroin?
Yeah.
Wait, let's explore a little bit. Tell me about your origins, man. Yeah. When did you start? When did you know you were hooked on the Asian deep? What happened?
So, just like my background, right?
Yeah.
I grew up in Miami. Primarily black, Latino, like mixed, like very Latin. Okay. So I'm going to be really whack.
No, be whack. This podcast is about being whack. Okay. Say what's on your mind.
There's okay. I grew up and I saw like how men treated women. Like even though I grew up for a Dominican family, like relatively like the guys are good and stuff. It's like, you know, I didn't see my uncle beat the shit out of his wife like at every. You know what I mean? Like where some people deal with that and stuff.
Yeah.
But like relatively like the men in my family. But I just heard how they talk about women, all this shit, and then like seeing it, and then seeing the kids in my school and stuff, and like I don't know, my image of Asian men was like, the media doesn't show like Asian fuckboys, the media doesn't show like Asian guys cheating, it doesn't show any of that, right? Yeah. So like, and then like my exposure to Asian people was like, you know, I'm a member of the Soka Gakkai, which is a Japanese Buddhist organization.
Yeah.
I grew up in it, and it's kind of like in America it's like this radical cool thing because it's Buddhism, but I guess in Japan it would be similar to like a Hillsong or like some kind of corny Mormon. I think there's a lot of differences, but like in that sense of like very family oriented, like, and they like really put like, you have to respect women. So that's like my image of Asian people.
So the lack of representation allowed you to be like, oh, maybe they're not so bad.
Exactly.
That's so interesting.
So did it kind of make you like idealize them in a way that is?
Yeah. Or I'm just like, for me, I'm like, okay. Cause it was all, for me, everything was like, I can't get hurt. I don't want to get hurt. I'm not going to be stupid. Mm-hmm. I got to stay one step ahead of the game. Like that's how like I try, like when I was younger, try to navigate
my
life.
What do you mean hurt?
I don't want to get played. Mm. I don't want to, you know, and it's just like.
And you thought when you were younger that you'd get played with like Dominican men and Asian guys would never play you.
I thought.
But then.
And then, you know what? That's not true.
No.
And then that's how I came up with all dick is trash. You know, men, all dick is trash. That's like one of my catchphrases. That's like one of my like.
It's your catchphrase.
It's I sold shirts with it. Julia did my shirt.
All dick is trash.
That's my podcast coming out in 2020, baby.
Oh,
all dick is trash.
You know, so I was just exclusively dating, and I had like a whole fucking theory. I was like, look, I'm gonna find an Asian guy who's like. And he's gonna have a good job, and then I'm gonna move in with him, and I don't have to work, and I could just do comedy, and then like I'll suck his dick twice a week, and then like cook.
That's a good frequency.
It's a good look. Hey, if I don't have to pay rent, I'm sucking dick. Have not found.
Okay. Let's back up a second. So you had this fantasy.
I feel
of
like
Asian
I'm in therapy where I say
like.
Stuff, and then it's like. Millie, just pause at everything you're
saying.
It's
so funny. A lot of comedians do this, and I gotta pay therapists and rewind a little bit. But it's all good stuff. So you had this like image of what an Asian person might be like. You start dating some Asian men. Turns out that's not what we were about. We're all dudes are trash. I completely agree with that. Were you dating Asian dudes in like high school? Like when did you kind
of were there Asian? Are there a lot of Asian people in Miami?
Not. I feel like there's more now, or maybe I'm just noticing more there wasn't really like there was only like. Three Asian kids in my high school of like 3,000. There's like ethnically maybe like Peruvian or, you know, like people from like back, but my first crush, now I look back, my first crush was this Filipino guy with hazel eyes, and I was like so in love with it. I thought That's it was so cute. From when I was like in fifth grade, so I was like, man, maybe it was just dormant in me, like there's like something.
What was his name?
Lucas Miles.
Oh.
Miles?
Shouts yeah, I know. That's like a good question. I don't know. I actually won't go there.
Well, anyway, okay. Can I? So do you think? Okay, this was interesting because what's her name? Issa Rae, is that her name?
Yes.
She had like commented a little bit ago saying like, oh, black women should date more Asian guys, blah blah blah. I'm wondering if there is like an interesting link there. That's like, okay, this is what I'm saying. Okay, since I've gone open, I've tried. I didn't want to try like the major apps because I was like, I don't want people to see me. So Facebook has a dating app. I don't know if you guys know this.
Do not.
Listen. But Abisang, thank you so much. Miss. I was just like, it's on the fucking app. There's a heart sign, and apparently, if you just click activate, you already have it. You don't have to download anything. So I was like, I'll just try this for a couple hours to see what the deal is. Okay.
What was the deal?
I did it. Okay. I set the age range to 25 to 45. Okay, and I'm on there. And
is that your age range?
I can go 45.
You know what they say, yeah. Julia. You know what they say. You can't find a good man. You need to raise one.
I don't like this energy. I miss Mike.
Oh, well, too bad, bitch. It's the Millie takeover.
Okay, but listen. I'm
sorry. On this app, no one says that.
On this app, I tried it for like a day, and I swear to God, all of my matches.
Were black women?
All of them. All of them. And even, I went to San Francisco for a little bit, and I was on Tinder for a little bit. Again, my girlfriend knows all this. I tried it. Pretty much all of them were black or Latino women. And then I tried Bumble for a little bit, and Bumble has so many fucking white girls.
Yeah, like, so
like
many
too
white
many.
Girls.
It's inappropriate. Yeah. And I didn't get any matches on Bumble. And I was like, and I just thought it was really interesting, you know? Like, yeah. Yes, I'm getting more matches than I was back in like 2013 when I first tried the online dating and stuff, but like I'm just wondering, like, and obviously you don't represent all black women, but like it's interesting that, because I always thought like black women like made fun of Asian guys, and so I was
that's also a media thing too, right? Like, so for me, I was fucking racking up because I was like, yeah, no one knows Asian guys are hot, this is my shit, like this is my secret, like no one else. And then every time I saw like 10 hot Asian, like, you know, like BuzzFeed or something would like try to be like, no Asian, because you know the way that American media showed Asian men before in like 2013 or something was like, or like back even before that, was like, oh, Asian men are a little nerdy. So I'm like, okay, no one knows that Asian guys are looking hot. I'm fucking racking in, dog. Yes. And then like there's all these like articles that I would like report them. No, I'm kidding. Be like, this is spam. Like, no one else can
know. Don't believe it.
I'm like, I don't know. And then Crazy Rich Asians came out, and then that just fucked the game up for
you.
That's the whole game up. That shit just fucked everything up, because now everyone knows Asian men are hot, and I'm like, damn it.
I fucking love that.
But yeah, I feel like,
what have you heard among like your other, you know, black female friends? How do they talk about Asian dudes? And also like when they saw you with you know, trying to chase Asian guys and stuff, like did they have opinions about that?
Yeah, so I'll say Asian men and black women are like the least likely of each race and each sex, like, to get swiped on.
Right.
But I put Latina, so I'm kidding. so that's my hack. No, but I feel like, you know, the number one question, I'm like, it's not like I'm like, oh, I did a lot of Asian men. But, you know, it comes up, I'll be like, yeah, a lot of my exes are Asian. And then they always ask about the dick size. They're like, oh, does he have, is it true what they say? Is it true what they say? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes. It's not. I will say though, again, that's just something that I feel like men care. Like,
size is not everything.
No, size is not everything. Shouts. You don't want like a micro whatever, but like, you know.
No,
but it's just
course,
like if you're, you know, it's the whole experience.
You know what you said to me on the call that I found very interesting. You were saying that you know, I would assume that an Asian guy who might frequently date like Latino or black women are like what I would call like hip hop Asians, you know, like people like hypebeast, people into dancing, maybe they're rappers themselves. But you were saying that that's not the case.
No.
The Asian guys who were into you were like,
yeah,
straight.
Tell me about that.
Yeah.
No, they're like nerds. like the ones with like the cool haircuts and the sneakers. I have really complicated, when we start talking about Asian people in hip hop, I have very complicated nuanced opinions about that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's like this level of for me, I'm like, okay, if this is a culture that you embrace and you like, because I also went to college in California and I found like a lot of, like, it's the same thing of like a lot of the kids who are like trying to be like Cabo Modern, like hip hop dance team, and like wore all the things and like did all the choreography and stuff. They were so fucking rude to me. They only hung out with other Asian people and all this stuff. And then like,
but at like the same time, they're doing this black thing, but they don't have any black friends.
And they have like no appreciation or respect for black people. In, you know what I mean?
That's so interesting.
And like, they're not like that. So it's kind of the same thing of like, these guys who are all like performatively, like, I don't want to say appropriate, you know, appropriating and all that shit. Like to see it in like pop culture and stuff of like somebody like Eddie Wang or something, like, you know, appropriating and all this stuff. And then I'm like, okay, but if he has like a black girlfriend or something, then it's like, you embrace and like you see, so I don't, you know what I mean? But then it's just like, no, you just want to take. So anyway,
that's
like,
that's really interesting.
Anyway, Asian guys who don't fuck me are not woke.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Talking about meeting new people, East Meet East has an Asian bachelor show that is on twice a week. Sometimes celebrities like Fruity Poppin' and Joe from Just Kidding are featured on the show as well.
You can get up close and personal with your favorite stars, so definitely check it out by clicking on the link in the description box of this episode.
I haven't had that much experience with Asian men, but I do find that sometimes, like, I don't know if you feel this way, like, it is true that Asian men have been desexualized, mm-hmm. but I feel like, to your point, like, recently, I think it's, like, come, especially, like, in cities like New York and probably LA, it's, like, people recognize, like, Asian men are hot.
Yeah.
And I feel like, but some Asian men, I think, sometimes still, like, and maybe that I can't blame them for feeling this way, but I, like, sort of, like, want to shake some Asian men and be, like, try to get rid of this chip on your shoulder.
Yeah,
people are trying to fuck you.
Yeah. This guy.
And you have to, like, I get it, because you have been told that for so long.
Yeah.
That maybe not. But now it's like, it's, baby, get that confidence out.
Yeah, let it out. Absolutely. Yeah. There was this one guy I was seeing, and he was, like, Asian, and he had, I feel like he worked in finance, and he was, like, the lone Asian in all his, like, white friends. So I feel like a lot of Asian guys that have that kind of, these are the vibes I got from him. Was like, oh, if you like me, it's like an exception to the Asian men are desexualized, like, but not me, right? Where when he found out like that I have dated other Asian guys before and I find Asian men attractive, he was really turned off by that.
Well,
he was like,
I want to talk about this. Yeah.
Like, oh, ew, so what are you going to do? Like, go to Chinatown and like meet somebody? Or like, his whole thing of like, no, it's only supposed to be me. Like, I'm special.
Like, I'm not like the other girls. I'm not
he was like, I'm not the other girls and stuff. And I was like joking with him about it. Oh, because my friend was in town that weekend and we were going to go get some soup dumplings in Chinatown. But he had known that I like, so he's like, oh, you're going to probably meet one of those raiders who doesn't even speak English and blah, blah, blah. And
what?
Like, oh, this is that. And you're going to like leave me for them. And I'm like, ha, you're going to go to fucking the Heights and meet some blonde Dominican bottle waitress and leave me for her too. Like, you could do the same thing. You know what I mean?
What do you? I have a theory on that because that's something that I've heard a lot. And I think Brian Park talked about it when he was on this podcast too. And I've also felt that way a little bit. I call it like the only Asian guy complex, where like we are told that it's not cool or okay to be like yourself, and so it's where almost like
it, it's
an assimilation thing. So from like a long, like when I was younger, I was obviously the only Asian kid in my crew of friends, my best friends from high school. If this didn't happen, but like I would feel weird if there was another Asian person in that crew. I would, my identity and my position would feel threatened, and I feel like what you experience is a weird remnant of that, which is dumb. Like, cool, like it's not like you only date Asian guys. Like you, for you, it's like, oh, I find Asian men attractive, just as attractive as I find Black men attractive. Yeah. It's like, what? It's not a big deal to you, but for him, it's like, no, Asian guys suck. Like I'm the exception. Right. I'm the leader, and it's a weird like it. I think it manifests itself in like a very negative and like toxic way. Like
I mean, we're saying this about Asians, but I feel like it's just a people of color thing.
Yeah.
Of like that idea of scarcity and abundance. Of like, totally. There's so many people of color who want to be the only people of color in the room and don't want, and like, there's just been a huge cultural shift of like, it, you know, and even like. Back in, there's like so many like white people who are Italian and their parents came from Italy and like refuse to teach their kids Italian because that's not how it goes, and like you have to try to assimilate and stuff. And now like I feel like a switch turned recently, and it's like, no, it's cool to be mixed. I mean, not that it's cool to be mixed, or sometimes it is like fetishized in a way, but it's like, no, it's like okay, and it's actually cool to like embrace who you are and embrace every single like thing, and like to be in spaces where it's primarily people of color and like operate in those things. And like I feel like that shift happened more suddenly than like the conversation happened around that, and like people are trying to reel with that and like understand, because you know he had that reaction, but before we were talking about like because that's when Modern Love came out,
on Amazon.
What's the Aziz Ansari
Master of None
came out, you know, like Aziz, you know, RIP Aziz, I'm sorry, I'm kidding. But like that's when people were talking about representation, and like he was like, I did this so that you know Asian males can look at them and be like, I can date white women too. But anyway, he was trying to like wrap his head around that conversation, and we had that conversation like, oh yeah, that's really cool and this and that. But then like as soon as like I hit him with that like thing, he like snapped back to his old of like, no, like I could be the only one in the room, like, and it's like, no, you were.
That's also just like self-loathing internalized racism,
of course. Yeah. And that happens every like all right. people of color,
and it's sometimes I don't think it's just color either. Like there's also, I think women do this way less and less in comedy, but there are still female comedians, many of whom are very successful, who do not bring other women on the road with them.
Yes.
It's like, I gotta be the only girl in the room because that's the thing. And that's, to me, like internalized sexism and misogyny, where it's like, it's every type of group, every type of person, I think, has that exception rule that they want to live up to for some reason.
I got the impression that, you know, I was dating a lot of Asian guys, but especially like just men outside of my race in general. It's like, oh yeah, no, I'm just going to play. This is for play. But when it comes time to get serious and like think about serious partners, you're not it. Like you're not like, you're just a phase, or you're just a thing, but I'm going to marry an Asian person. Or that's like some vibes that I got. And like, I don't want to say it's an Asian thing, or it could just be that, like, as I've gotten older, like, I started to see, I could recognize guys who are like that and, like, pull away before I get in too deep. But, so that's also what opened me up to, like, you know, it's like, well, this is something that I want for myself, of, like, a partnership eventually one day. And, like, I can't get that if I continue to foster these connections with people who ultimately aren't about this. And I feel like, and again, it could be just me being more selective of like, when I go on dates with Latino men or Black men, I feel like a sense of seriousness of like, oh, I'm actually treating you like a real partner. Like, this is a real thing that I want to do. But I was out with this one black guy and we had like a great time. This is like part of my stand up too. But like, we had a great time and all this stuff. And he was like, man, white women are crazy. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I was on this date with this white girl. And she was like, hey, do you want to do coke in the bathroom? It's on a first date with her. Isn't that crazy? I'm like, yeah, I would never share my coke on the first date. But like, so he was complaining about white women. And then like, I really vibe with this guy. I saw like a sense of seriousness. He had heard of my satire site. We liked the same punk bands, all this shit. And then like, some things happened. It was like, whatever. But then I sent him a video of this black girl who like, it was her wedding day. It's like, it went viral on black Twitter. And it's like, these people, they're all like skateboarding and she's in her wedding dress and she fucking falls and eats shit and it's like 30 people skateboarding and like she eats shit and it's really funny. So I send it to this guy and he's like, yeah, I saw that video, but I have mixed feelings. And I'm like, what do you have mixed feelings for? She like ate shit on a skateboard on her wedding day. That's funny. Yeah. And then he was like, well, you know, because she was getting married to a white guy. This black girl was getting married to a white guy. And he's like, yeah, I just feel like, you know, like, black and Latina women won't date me because I like weird things. But, you know, if a white guy likes the same things, they marry them and all this stuff. And I'm like, you got to let that go, dude. And I'm like, you really feel like that? Like in 2019, like with the internet and stuff and like all these like black cosplay and all this shit, like, you really feel that that's a thing? And then he was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, I've experienced it. That's why I've only dated white girls. And I'm like, okay, well, you were complaining about white girls on our first date. Mm-hmm. Now you're complaining about how you can only date Asian and white girls and how black women, I was like, you just hate women. And like, also too, like, I'm a black and Latino woman and I'm talking to you. So like, do I not exist? Yeah, so I ghosted him.
I think the the chip on the shoulder thing is, it's interesting. I mean, I can only speak from like an Asian guy perspective, but I feel like, you know, a lot of us complain about like, oh, white girls don't like me, other girls don't like me. But at least in my experience, like to your point, I definitely did that in high school where like, no, like girls did like me. It's just the ones that I like didn't like me back. And so like, I specifically remember like, I mean, I got my first hand job from a girl from fucking Kenya. Okay. Like that happened. And then
brag.
That is a flex.
She was hot. And, I remember, like, there were just, like, other cute girls. They're white. Some are, like, Hispanic. We were in Ohio. And they had crushes on me, but I didn't like them. And I was, like, 16, and I was insecure. And I was like, oh, like, she wants to marry me. Oh, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you just you push them away, and you forget about them. And then you only think about the girl that you like.
That
but then,
you.
If that's the case, then what makes you different than any other boy in high school, right?
And so then it's she's like, probably making those associations, too. Like, oh, well, I guess Japanese Asian guys don't like me.
Exactly.
Which was so funny because I did Roast of Your 15-Year-Old Self, mm-hmm. And Rachel Pegram and I were on it, and they both talked about how, Rachel talked about how she liked this guy who's Asian, and he's like, I can't date you. You're black. My parents would kill me. And then Io, like, right after, talked and she was like, oh my god, I had the same thing that happened to me and this is it. And like, they both like actually randomly included them in the PowerPoint, but I had brought a date to I brought a date to that show. This Asian guy was dating and he got hammered and he went up to them and he's like, listen, on behalf of all Asian men, like, you know, I think everyone's beautiful. And he's looking at me like, right, like, oh my god. I was like, oh,
you suck his dick?
Yeah, I did suck his dick. No, we went home and he ate me out later. But
that's nice. That's
yeah,
nice.
What happened to him?
You know what? He was, you know, I think on paper, he was still living with his ex.
Oh, on paper.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. He was like one of the best guys I dated and he was still living with. So like,
that's why he was a good guy.
That's why he was a good guy. And he was like, yeah, and like, and what? Well, and I'm like, I think like on paper he was probably single, but in reality he wasn't. And I should have known. Usually I have to like pull a gun on a guy to be like, wear a condom or you get the fuck out. You know what I mean? Mm-mm. Like, guys hate wearing. You know what I mean? Oh my god, it doesn't feel good. Our one Korean guy's like, oh, I can't wear a condom. It doesn't feel good. As soon as he came, he fell asleep. Like with the condom on, and I have to go and like take it off. Like, I hate you
did
so
not have to do that.
I did. So I didn't want to in my fucking house. But this guy, like, we would kiss for 2 seconds, and he was like, "Where's the condom? Where's the?" And I'm like, "Ah, That was a sign they were still fucking this his ex.
Oh, damn. Well, this was a very interesting conversation. I want to wrap it up with this quick segment. There was this, there's a new podcast out by Hinge.
Yeah.
It's called Ghost Stories. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they interview these two comedians, Michael Yo and Sydney Washington. We know Sydney. They interview a couple that hooked up on Hinge, and then some ghosting took place, and they confront it. That's what the podcast is about. We've actually done something that on this podcast, episode 60 with Brian Park and SJ Sun. So check that out if you haven't already.
SJ, oh yeah, Brian.
Yeah, but I wanted to. So Mike and I actually submitted to be hosts on this, and we never got it, which is totally fine. But because we're bitter, we thought we could play this game.
Yeah.
On this show, and this is a surprise game for you. I don't even know how much you're gonna remember, but I ghosted you.
No, you didn't.
In 2013.
No, you didn't.
When we matched on Tinder, I swear to God. I mean, we didn't meet up, but like I just ghosted you on the app.
Are you kidding me?
When I met you in comedy, I was like, oh my God, you're that fucking girl. Because I told you back in 2013, I wasn't dating my girlfriend back then. I didn't get any matches, and you were like one of my only matches. And I remember like,
oh my God.
You were telling me about like, we were like talking about like, you were telling me about like some company you worked at, and you're like,
this is so embarrassing. Fool me, you fucking monster.
Okay, so you matched, you and then me. Did you talk at all?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Okay.
No, we talked. You were like hilarious. You were like, because you knew I was Japanese, and you're like, I work for this Japanese company, and you're like, I do comedy, but I wasn't doing comedy back then.
Why'd you go?
Do you remember this at all?
This ambush.
This is nuts.
Ambush, baby.
I am just like, where's my fucking popcorn?
I feel like R.
Right
Kelly
now.
Ambush, right now. Like,
dude, how am I R. Kelly?
No, like in that interview with Gail.
You're Gail.
I'm R. Kelly. Like he's Gail. I'm like,
dude, that thing.
I'm about to walk out.
What did he do? What do you like? What did he?
This is my life, man. Yeah, wait, I don't remember. Oh my god.
Well, you know, we were young. We were like 23, maybe.
Okay.
22, 23. And,
how did you remember? Oh my God.
Yeah, well, you have a distinct name, and I remember like you told me you did comedy, and then you know where I met you? I re-met you at an Onion writing workshop we did together in like 2015.
That I hosted.
We were in the same class, and I was like, oh, there's that girl. But that, you know, there's no way you remembered who I was. I mean, at that time, I didn't remember. We reintroduced each other as comedians, and obviously you didn't know who I was, but
I
knew who you were. And I didn't bring it up until 4 years later because that was 2015.
So 2 years. Oh, my God. So, yeah. Talk to me about why you ghosted me.
Did you correspond a little bit? How did
I think
ghost?
I think we did.
Yeah. We
how many people.
So I never went on any Tinder dates back then. I matched with a couple of girls. This is before Crazy Rich Asians. You know, so not a lot of matches.
Secret wasn't out yet.
Yeah, Secret wasn't out. Secret was not out.
Well, but
hot,
but the news was out that you're a fuckboy. So
Breaking news.
Yeah, I remember thinking that. I remember I was like pleasantly surprised that because you seemed like not saying like you were super into me, but like the conversation was flowing.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, like I said, like there were literally like two matches, and Tinder was very new, and I hadn't really dated that much in college. But yeah, I just.
But why did you ghost me?
You know,
we could have been great.
I think
and the Japanese story. You are not looking good
Fumi, that's what you got to apologize for.
You know, I think what happened is I started dating. So I was like on and off with my girlfriend
since
22, and she went to Philly to go to grad school, and. We were like not technically together for a little bit, so I think I was trying the apps or whatever. But I was still like talking to her, and you know, and this is kind of
okay. So it's not my fault. It's never my fault.
No, it's not your fault. No, you were great, but like you left
Goodwill Hunting. It's not your fault.
This is, but you left such a positive impression on me. I remembered you.
And you know what? Fast forward to Lunar New Year, where you're the fucking pig, where you fucking roasted the shit out of me, fucked up my whole night. Ruined my high.
Damn.
I thought I was like, yeah, he's gonna be so impressed. I get excited to speak Japanese when I'm drunk.
But I love speaking Japanese. I hope that so maybe we can do this.
Yes.
My God.
Wow.
All right. Okay.
Fumi-san wa mecha fuckboy desu ne.
Yeah, mecha fuckboy desu. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh my God, I can't believe you dropped that bomb to me and then just cut the episode.
Well, you know, it's almost an hour.
This is not my takeover anymore. I'm writing a Fumi Abe diss track. Fuck you, dog.
A diss podcast
track? A diss podcast. You fucking piece of shit.
Oh, my God. You...
I love it.
If a podcast can end with the guest calling the host a piece of shit,
it's
great.
It's a great
podcast.
I'm
sure that's how every episode of Joe Rogan ends. Yeah. It should, right?
But yeah, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yes, I actually do. My podcast, All Dick is Trash, if you can't tell from No, yeah, I have All Dick is Trash. I'm going to be working on some cool stuff next.
Is it out already, All Dick is Trash?
No, I'm recording episodes now.
Okay, cool. So be on the lookout, anals.
Be on the lookout. Follow me on Twitter at Wactose Intolerant or at Millie Tamaris or on Instagram at Millie on Fire. And if you're an Asian guy, no. If you're a guy and you have an in-unit washer and dryer, central AC, car, or a nice dog, or good credit, hit me up, dog. I'm taking submissions for late registration on cuffing season.
Hell yeah! And you can
watch late registration, dog. Late season.
All right, check her out on the gram. You can also follow us on there at AsianNotAsianPod, and I'm also on there at the Fumi Abe. That's CHEFUMIABE.
Don't follow it.
You can follow me at Julia Shiplet on everything.
And thank you guys so much for listening. And Millie, you were such a delight. Thank you so much. I'm glad we got to solve our problems.
No, we didn't. We definitely did not.
They're worse.
they're actually worse now. You piece of shit. I'm kidding. Thank you for having me.
Bye. Okay, let's do our Patreon shout-outs. Listeners, if you don't know what I'm talking about, please visit us at patreon.com/asian.asianpod and give us your money. You can make a monthly contribution anywhere between $2 to $20 or custom, more or less.
Yeah.
And that money goes to help us produce this show, go on the road.
We got a new machine. We got a new laptop.
Yeah, we got a new laptop.
We needed it.
We needed it. Now
the old one was so shitty.
It was very shitty. Now our company is worth $0 again. So, you know, we got to build from
We're like Amazon, though. We make no profit. Just plow it right back into the business.
So please, if you're a fan of the show, please consider donating. And you know what you get for donating? We slide into your DMs. You can pitch race news. And most importantly, we try to guess your ethnicity based on your last name.
Fun game.
Let's get racist.
Racism.
Okay. We should have a song for that. Let's get racist. Let's get racist. Here we go. Donor number one, Derek Dong. D-O-N-G. Is that Korean?
D-O-N-G?
Yeah.
Dong. I want
to
say it's Vietnamese because we have the word dong a lot in our language.
Oh, really?
Which is hilarious.
It probably
is. But it's not a last name.
Yeah.
It's if you threw another vowel in there, maybe, then it would be a last name.
Yeah. Dong.
But then dong, you know what? I'm going to say Chinese. Fuck it.
Fucking Chinese.
Yeah, fuck it.
Next guy, K.S. Just K.S.
This is a
K-pop star.
Yes, exactly. Oh, no. Who's your bias? Oh, it's K.S.
It's K.S. Oh, he's the cute one.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He's so beautiful. He's such a good dancer. K.S.
Thank you, K.S. Hope your band is successful. Then we got Gabby Nieto. N-I-E-T-O-O.
Nieto.
She's not Asian. I see her picture.
Oh, word? Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she actually messaged us one time when we had Irene tune on, and we're like, "Are white people scared of the word Asian?" She like left us a voicemail.
Oh, word!
And she was like,
"Oh, I tried to, I couldn't listen to it."
She was like, "Yeah, they are scared because you know my boyfriend's Korean, but like it just happened to be, he just happened to be Korean or whatever, and like yeah, I like some of the stuff he likes, and people think it's weird that I like it too or whatever, like you know." And I was like, "Hey, I feel you, you know."
Whoa!
Yeah, just cool.
Nieto, that's fuck.
I think it's Cuban.
Okay. Yeah,
so I'm only saying that because I think she's based in Miami.
Oh, I think she's some kind of Native American. Ooh,
well, what European country has like the weirdest last names? Not weirdest, but like you know, with a lot of vowels. A
lot of vowels.
Not Eastern European. They don't fuck with vowels at all. Everything is a K and X.
Everything's a K and a Z.
Kushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikushikush
Portugal?
No.
Maybe?
Portugal sounds like Spanish now.
That's true.
I don't know.
This is a tough one.
This is really...
You may have stumped our racism.
I'm gonna cheat. Nieto, last name, origin. Google, go.
What does it say?
It's Latin, derived from Neptus, which means grandchild.
Latin?
It's like a Latin name.
It's a Latin, like a Latino name?
like Latin. Oh, Spain.
Spain.
Ah, hey. See, Cuban.
Not bad.
Cuban. Because you know.
There you go.
Colonization. Okay. We got you. And then, okay, three more. Andrew Kang. This is the dude that was like, hey, don't shout me out. Shout out my wife.
Well, I'm going to shout you both out. Okay. Because...
No, we don't want to set the precedent. Okay.
Oh, you're right. Good point.
So I'm actually going to bleep his name. I'm going to bleep his name so that he doesn't get a shout out. And instead his partner gets a shout out. Devin Stahl. S-T-A-H-L. Stahl.
Stahl. S-T...
Yeah. I think it's like British.
A-H-L?
S-T-A-H-L.
I want to say Stahl. No, I want to say it's like German.
German.
You know, they always that sounds like a very German. Stahl. Stahl. Okay. I want to give him a shout out. You know why? You know why? It's because he's in the military.
And you know you know what? If you're in the military, we will give you a shout out.
If you...
Serve.
Serve in the military.
Wait, the Korean military or the American military?
I think he's in the American military.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will only shout out American military because I'm American and we're about to go to war.
We're about to go to war, so thanks for doing that so I can stay home.
Hell yeah. He's probably jacked. Let me see your... pecs. Okay, two more. Sasha Baskina. Baskina.
Baskina. How do you spell
it? Baskin. That sounds like that one song. The Takataka Gasolina.
Takataka
Baskina.
Well, as you were saying, anything with like a K in there, I'm going to say this is some sort of, Slovakian kind of name.
You think so? But it's like, that. It sounds very Spanish to me because the vowel.
I was going
to
say Spanish, but it's got to have a Q.
Oh, Baskina. But that K. She's from Czech. You're from Czech. Czech Republic.
Nice
welcome.
Try.
Welcome. And last but not least, we got Jace. Just J-A-Y-C-E. No picture.
Jace.
I don't fucking... He's from high school. That's where he's from. I don't know where he's... Jace. I don't fucking know.
Just a generic white dude.
Generic white guy.
Hey, all right.
Oh, we got a white fan.
Hey.
Hey, thank you so much. And everybody check us out at patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. Bye.
Bye.
This episode of Asian Not Asian is presented in partnership with Listening Party. Follow the crew on Instagram @ Listening Party Presents and @ Canal Street Market.